In a brazen power grab ripped straight from the globalist authoritarian handbook, President Trump's National Security Presidential Memorandum 7, or NSPM 7, has just redefined core American beliefs as indicators of domestic terrorism. This thing unleashes the FBI's sprawling joint terrorism task forces to sniff out and preemptively dismantle networks before a single crime is committed. Stephen Miller called it the first real all-of-government push against left-wing terror. But as Ken Klippenstein laid bare, the language is so broad it devours everything in its path, bypassing Congress through the same old federal-local fusion centers that have been grinding away at liberty for decades. And in the last few days, Trump's counterterrorism point man, Sebastian Gorka, made it crystal clear this blade cuts both ways.
Let's come back to right-wing extremism. Do you regard it as a threat at all or anything that's important to be considering right now? Because the SPLC revelations, I feel like we just got the tip of the iceberg. We don't really know how deep it goes. I mean, is there any? Like, I guess that's the question. I'm assuming there's a little bit because there's it's a big country. There's a little bit of everything. But is there really anything?
We have to have an effective, accurate snapshot on who are part of the conservative movement today. Because I would say to you, I'm not sure that Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson are conservatives. If you are lauding a Sharia law, if you are saying that there are Muslim states that seem to be better qualitatively than America in terms of freedom and prosperity, I'm not sure that means you're part of the conservative movement. So if you remove those individuals and you understand that they're not conservatives, what's left? Who are the people in the mainstream of the conservative movement, Alex, who are saying violence is okay? Hard to find people who aren't fringe figures.
So I don't talk a lot about Fuentes on the show because I always knew that there was something up about it. It was very obvious to me, and I just didn't know how much. It's always tough when you've got a big newsroom like Breitbart because I've got two options. I've got ignore it, knowing this thing is eventually going to go away, or direct a bunch of fire at it. And we did a couple of pieces on him over the years that have been negative, obviously. But it's the I didn't spend a lot of time on it because it felt very inorganic to me. Certainly the numbers that were reported around this guy, that he was commanding this huge audience, though none of us know anyone who actually cares about his show in a serious way. Now he came out just a couple days ago and said he's a flat out Democrat. The left understands this. They're as strategic as we are, if not more strategic. And for them to boost people who could drive a wedge within the MAGA movement is about the best strategy they could run. And now we've got actual evidence that's what they were doing.
It's such a sad truth.
NSPM 7 can now be twisted into domestic inquisition. Thousands of JTTF agents embedded in local police departments, campuses, and online now primed to hunt radicalizing speech that challenges Gorka's protected narrative.
Official terrorism strategy, counterterrorism strategy, literally says they will identify and neutralize political groups that are anti-American, and then they throw in or radically pro-transgender and anarchists. So the bone is, we're going to go after Antifa, we're going to go after the transgender groups, but don't worry, we define all of the former MAGA that are actually patriots as the enemy. Just like they tell you all the police states for the Muslims after 9/11, and then of course the whole time it was really for all of us.
Fuentes, you will burn in hell, you sad little boy.
What the?
This isn't new. It's a bipartisan version of post-9/11 powers. NSPM 7 revives that machinery domestically, mapping evil doers through beliefs once protected by the First Amendment, which this document notably ignores. Recall Bush-era directives enabling mass surveillance and preemption that ensnared Americans for years, from Obama's IRS targeting conservatives to Biden's war on Alex Jones and every America First dissenter. Time to expose it, reject it, and reclaim the freedoms our forefathers bled for. The Great Awakening demands vigilance.
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bunker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it.
This stuff works, man.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. Very, very big show we have for you today. A very special show we have for you. I'll be doing the first hour here, and I'll tell you the full story. My kids have a big end of the year thing, a big performance, and then I got to go do some signing stuff or some legal stuff. We got to meet with lawyers, all this just normal life stuff. And so I asked Rob Dew if he could fill in for me today, so I could go take care of some stuff. Then the man falls off a ladder, and so he's got a giant black eye, and. So I'm not going to make you go. We're not going to make you go on air like that. Thank God he's okay, but it's a good reminder. Ladders are extremely dangerous, folks. This is the information you need to know. Even as a fully functional, capable adult, you got to be careful. But it's great. It's fine because actually the backup plan is even better than we expected. So I'll be here for the first hour. We got a lot of news to cover. I'm going to get into Chud the Builder, of course. He was supposed to be our guest yesterday, and an hour before he was supposed to come on, the man gets in a shootout outside of a courthouse. He has now been arrested and charged. We'll go over those charges. We'll talk about Donald Trump's visit to China, of course. We'll talk about some developments in the Iran war, but mostly we'll be talking about data centers and AI for the first hour. And then in the second hour, I'm actually going to have Tiffany Cianci be Skyping in. It's not the right word, but she's going to be she actually is on the ground in Kentucky for the big get out the vote push for Thomas Massie. Voting starts today, I believe, in Kentucky. So if you're in Kentucky, if you're certainly in Massie's district, get out the vote starts today. And Tiffany Cianci is there with a bunch of really popular content creators and politicians all coming together to make sure that Thomas Massie wins the day, because this really is a litmus test for America. Are we a republic, or are we just an economic zone that can be manipulated at will as long as you got the cash to do it? And it's pretty interesting, the developments in the Thomas Massie election. So very excited to, you know, lend our platform to that mission to defeat the scumbags, defeat the puppet politician and the puppeteers such as Paul Singer and Miriam Adelson. And standing up for a true America First patriot in Thomas Massie. Very excited for Tiffany Cianci in the second hour. And then in the third hour, we're going to be showing the interview that Alex Jones did with Russell Brand, two of probably the most, I don't know, lightning rod figures in the modern media landscape. So very excited to show you that interview in the third hour. But I'm going to try to pack in as much as I can for this first hour. And I think I want to start with some good news, some happy news. Some, frankly, just not terrible news, I guess would be one way of putting it. And that is that Thomas Massie is now ahead in the polls, which is great because today is when the voting actually begins. I've always been a little bit suspect at the polling in Kentucky because Thomas Massie's so popular. He's just won every election he's been in, even when Donald Trump was against him by, 80%. Of the vote. So it always kind of was strange to me that this guy, Ed Galrain, who nobody had ever heard of and refused to debate Thomas Massie and it got caught using AI to like post things on social media. Totally, you know, fraudulent guy. Yeah, for Mother's Day, the crew reminds me. It was for Mother's Day, the Mother's Day post. You can't cobble together three sentences on Mother's Day. You just say Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And they literally had to ask AI how to do this. Was he born in a test tube? The crew's telling me he was born in a test tube. And that he may, in fact, just be a fully fledged AI creation. He might not exist at all. Kidding, of course. But there is some very there are some very interesting developments here. We'll go to clip number 15. This was a little town hall meeting that Ed Galrain was doing. I think that's how you say his name. Nobody's ever heard of this guy. But it's not going very well for him. See, he has refused totally to debate Thomas Massie, which is sort of a traditional thing. Like, you know, for the last like 200 years, it's been a fundamental core part of the campaign season. You got two opponents. They disagree with each other. I'm better. No, I'm better. You have them talk to each other or answer questions at the same time. And it allows you to judge who's got the best stance. It's a tried and true practice that is, like I said, fundamental to our ability to know who to pick, to know who we're voting for, to actually perform our obligation as citizens and cast our vote for the right person. And he's refused to debate Thomas Massie. And it's been very embarrassing for him. And the constituents of Kentucky are not happy with his nonsense. So let's go down to clip number 15. This is Ed Galrain holding a very small, I guess you might say Biden-esque event where you know, like a COVID style event. You know, they're not separated by 6 feet, but they are keeping that capacity to a minimum in the room. And maybe you get in free if you have gray hair. I don't know, but certainly not the most youthful crowd here. Regardless, they're not happy at his unwillingness to debate Thomas Massie. Let's watch.
You took the press out of the middle and talked right to the people. What did President Trump do? What did Galrain do? I'm going to talk right to you. I ain't scared enough. You think I lack for courage? In fact, they had to hog tie me from taking that bull on. So there ain't no money in it. The New York Times is going to show up and all they're going to print is, you know, if you like your doctor, you can keep them. Whatever they say, they're going to call it the gospel. You know, and you ain't going to hear another word about it. So as you might guess, I'm not shy enough about courage about nothing. You know, in terms of that.
But you haven't debated him.
I'm debating him right now.
Young no, man. You're not. I'm glad you're not debating him. You're giving a bunch of platitudes. You're not explaining anything. You've not gone toe-to-toe with the congressman. You're not explaining your differences. You're not doing anything. You're not explaining any differences.
I just laid it all out, young man.
It made no sense. It made no sense.
I didn't
want to
see your letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a civil conversation?
Yeah, like a civil conversation is the congressman and him debating, not him pulling up signs and a letterman's jacket.
If you asked a question, he answered it.
The congressman. That's not an answer.
So you got to love it. You got to love the people standing up. I mean, that is a classic. It's actually kind of ironic. Yeah, and of course, this is the real division. Track AIPAC has the numbers. Thomas Massie has taken $0 from the Israeli lobby, where Ed Galrain exists entirely as a construct of the Israeli lobby. And that's really what this contest boils right down to. But Ed Galrain, in this weird, he's got this weird stock answer. We've shown other clips where he says the same thing. And you got to just, clearly there's a planning meeting. Clearly there's a campaign meeting where they go, we're not debating the guy because we would be destroyed. What do we say to people who demand that we debate? And I'm sure they workshopped ideas and maybe did a little A-B testing, and they came up with, just say you're debating him right now. Just say that you actually are debating him, and that's what you're doing right now. It's like, and you can imagine the meeting just being like, yes, that's perfect. That's great. Okay, all right, check that one off. We'll go on to the next one. It's just like the stupidest thing. People are like, you should debate Thomas Massie. And he's like, that's what I'm doing right now. No, you're not. You're talking. This is a monologue. We're talking about dialogue. We're talking about back and forth. We're talking about being, you know, have questions put to you and you have to answer it and he has to answer it and we get to decide who's better, not you monologuing, saying whatever you want about Thomas Massie and then just declaring, no, this is a debate, actually. Actually, this is a debate and I am debating him and you're spreading fake news for saying that I didn't. That's just a crazy way to approach things. That's insane. But then he's got the picture of the Norman Rockwell, and I think it's the picture of the guy standing up, right? It's that classic image. It really does sort of define what American politics is supposed to be, sort of the town council meeting where the average guy with, you know, nothing special about his, you know, job or condition of birth or anything, just standing up and having his say and having people listen to him. Like, it wasn't this picture that he was picking up as if this was him or something, when in reality, the guy interrupting him is this guy. You know, the caption should be, why won't you debate Thomas Massie? He's the one standing up and speaking out and expressing what so many people are feeling. It's pretty amazing, pretty ironic that he tries to, you know, Galrain tries to flip that around on him, I guess, or something. And I got more to say about Thomas Massie and more videos to show you about it, but I think we'll move on from that for now because we are going to be spending a lot of time on that in the next hour. And we got to get into, yeah, there you go, freedom of speech, Alex Jones. That's a T-shirt right there. We should sell that one on a T-shirt. Can we do that? I don't know who I have to whip to get that done, but let's get that done because that is an awesome picture. Very cool. We're going to talk about Chud. We're going to talk about China. We're going to talk about all that stuff. But first, actually, let's get into what should be the biggest story across America right now and yet is basically non-existent in the mainstream. It's not on Drudge. I couldn't find it anywhere on Drudge. I couldn't find it anywhere on Google News. I didn't see any, you know, major national outlets covering it. It didn't get a ton of attention on X. But it's like the craziest story I've heard in a very long time. And the implications of this are horrifying. Let's go to clip 16 here. They found somebody in a routine inspection of a dam in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, happened to stumble on a sophisticated improvised explosive device planted on the dam. And they had to call in all of these government organizations to clear out this explosive device that was primed to destroy a functional utilitarian dam in Mobile, Alabama. Let's watch clip 16.
A grenade-type explosive device was found underwater at Big Creek Lake, the primary drinking water supply for the Mobile area. The Mobile Area Water and Sewer System, MAWS, saying divers found this improvised explosive device while surveying the lake's dam for routine repairs. A multi-agency bomb squad team, including the FBI, Mobile County Sheriff's Office, and state law enforcement, retrieved and safely destroyed it, as you just saw. MAWS says the drinking water supply was not affected. Big Creek Lake is federally designated critical infrastructure, and Homeland Security has been notified. We're trying to find out where the IED came from, if it's been there for some time, or if investigators think it was placed there.
I'm going to assume let's assume that it's placed there. Let's just work off of that assumption because better safe than sorry, right? Hey, maybe it was somebody who accidentally set a grenade-style IED on a dam holding back the drinking water for the city of Mobile, Alabama. Yeah, you know, maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was a big joke. But let's just be safe. Let's be better safe than sorry. And let's treat this like a potential terrorist attack that has been thwarted by a total coincidence. Like, we keep getting lucky on stuff like this. I feel like I've said this a few times recently where it's like, is this what we're relying on? Is this what national security boils down to? Is just hoping that we coincidentally stumble upon plots, because that seems to be what happens. Seems like every time a legitimate, seemingly terrorist attack is foiled, it's because somebody just like wanders into a room and sees a terrorist like loading a gun, and then it gets foiled. It's like I think we're running out of luck here. We're really putting our luck to the test here. Why is this not a national story when you have all of these stories about the data center sucking up, you know, sucking the water dry and just drought conditions that are causing major problems with national infrastructure And of course, what we've been warning about, the shortages that are coming, the videos that I played on Monday of the World Economic Forum repeating over and over and over again about how their plan with the vaccine failed. So now they have to utilize water to try to get the control that they so desire, that water is this perfect element to withhold from people to make you do certain things. There's all of this discussion right now about the preciousness of water and the way that it's being sucked up on purpose and destroyed. I mean, I've got, it's like a 10-minute video, but we can at least start with it, like start to watch it. The video about the Hoover Dam being totally dry, basically, and this is happening across the country. And at the same time, you happen to find primed explosives on a dam in Mobile, Alabama. What I would do, I know, you know, this might not be the top priority. I would be inspecting every single dam in America right now, and I would be treating this like a major situation. And I assume they are. I assume people at the FBI are taking it seriously, but are they? I don't know. Seemed like that news report. It was like, yeah, we're going to see if it was like put there on purpose or not. It's like, how about we have every hand on deck? We're going over every single security camera within 100 miles to figure out where the hell this thing came from and who planted it there, so we can find and arrest them and see if they've done it anywhere else. Because we just happened to stumble upon this. So find out who put it there and then search every single dam in America to find out if this was some lone wolf terrorist targeting the critical infrastructure, or perhaps a nationwide attack to come where all of these things are being primed and set up and will all go off at once. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy that this is just like, yeah, they found an IED on the dam that holds back Mobile, Alabama's drinking water. So, you know, well, they're checking it out. All right. Yeah, you should check that out. Here's what's happening with the Hoover Dam. Let's watch.
Hoover Dam is now the deadliest water failure in recorded history of the American continent. Hoover Dam has gone dark for the first time in 90 years. Lake Mead has dropped to 953 feet, 3 feet above the elevation where the turbines physically die. Las Vegas has banned outdoor irrigation and drained the fountains on the Strip. Arizona has cut farm water allocations to 9% of normal. 40 million Americans across 7 states get their drinking water from one river, and that river is barely there. The Bureau of Reclamation used a word in writing that no federal agency uses without lawyers in the room: Deadpool. But here is the detail that tells the real story. The water managers who pulled the kill switch on Hoover Dam on April 9th did not call it an emergency. They called it a foundational system failure. The bathtub ring on Lake Mead is now visible from satellites, 10 stories of missing water carved into the canyon walls.
So again, we can take it down now. And is this everywhere? Is there anywhere in America where the lakes are at full capacity? I know the lakes in Austin have been at like 15% capacity for the last like 10 years. And yet we are still building out suburbs by like 10,000, 20,000 houses a year, adding more strain on the already seemingly massively diminished aquifers. Do you think weather manipulation has anything to do with this? Do you think it could perhaps be because of the, you know, rainmaking corporations, the things they're spraying in the air? Of course, the effects of this are incredible, but water and the lack of water and water scarcity in the way that for 20 years, I mean, you know, the first time I remember hearing about this, it must have been in the early 2000s when it was Nestle saying water is not a human right. Right. That was kind of a wake up call for me going, I'm sorry, excuse me. Water is not a human right. The stuff that falls from the sky that belongs to you, does it? That's crazy. Lake Mead could drop another 20 feet over the next 12 months. That was in April of this year. I have the feeling that this is a manufactured crisis, actually. I have the feeling that this is the inevitable consequence of all of the policy decisions being made by people who want this to happen. I know I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist, but seems like if you didn't want this to happen, you wouldn't do all of the things that make it happen. But they keep doing all of those things. So that leads me to one conclusion. This is probably on purpose and in line with what the World Economic Forum wants to use water for, which is control everything and you, or to power the data centers, cool the data centers that will be used to control you. So it's just why is it like this? Why are we letting this happen? I don't understand. I mean, I do understand. I mean, I think I just explained it to you. It's because we're run by a death cult that despises us and feels like they can get away with it. But really, you know, the water itself and the way it's being drained and the way it's being, you know, put aside for the data centers or the almond growers or who, you know, whoever else is a problem in and of itself. But it's also like a symptom of all of these other problems, right? It's the overpopulation. It's the immigration with 120 or however many million people here in America that aren't really accounted for in our planning and aren't really supposed to be here and yet require just as much resources as, you know, the citizens that are here, overloading our resources tremendously on top of the thousands and thousands of data centers, on top of the thousands and thousands of data centers that we're building on top of those. It's a little bit absurd, I think, that this is going on so unabated, especially when it is this combination of the weather manipulation. Like, obviously, you can't just create rain out of thin air. If you are seemingly creating rain out of thin air, what you're actually doing is bringing moisture from somewhere else and creating clouds and having it rain there. This country's largest reservoirs running low, signaling a dire water situation. Lake Mead, a historic water level low, but it's really only one example of a much bigger problem this year, extreme drought. Oh, well, this is your fault for driving a car, right? Right? I mean, it's not the industries draining all of this water by the millions upon millions of gallons. I mean, how many times have we covered all of these stories? The almond growing lobby in California getting all of this excess water. The fact that California for a while was, I assume they're still doing it. There were like tens of thousands of gallons of fresh water that they were just spilling into the ocean because of some weird, you know, ecology thing. The Delta smelt. That's right. The Delta smelt. The fish, we have to save the fish by letting all of our fresh water into the ocean. Amazing. Great job, California. You did it. And with all of this ecological disaster, all of this environmental catastrophe going on around us, and this is, for me, like primarily the reason that I've been enraged at the entire concept of climate change this entire time, because none of this is caused by climate change. None of this is a consequence of an uptick of the global temperature by 0.001 because of the carbon output. You're draining the aquifers. That's the problem. You're spilling fresh water by tens of thousands of gallons a day into the ocean. That's the problem. But all environmental concern, all of it has been subsumed, has been consumed, has been buried under the climate change agenda. So none of this stuff is getting any attention. And where ecology or the environment does get attention, it's abused and misused and misappropriated, like the Delta smelt. Oh, you're an environmentalist? You want to save this fish? Well, I'd like to save that fish. Great, we're going to spill all of your fresh water into the ocean. We love the environment. Completely insane. And we'll get more into it on the other side, because it's like every day the climate change agenda is downing entire forests. You explain it. I don't understand.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten, forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. but we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live on Alex Jones Network. You can follow us, of course, by going to alexjoneslive.com. Follow us at AJNLive on rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And oh my gosh, I really do have so much to get into in this segment. So let's get into it. Yesterday, we were supposed to be joined by Chud the Builder. He's a man who goes by Chud the Builder. His actual name is Dalton Etherly. But an hour before he was slated to come on our show, he was involved in a bit of a firearm combat. He was involved in a shootout. He, of course, if you don't know, is a live streamer that goes around and uses his free speech to the maximum extent possible. In other words, he basically is trying to break the taboo of saying the N-word. And I think he's got a point. I don't know if I remember saying to him at the time, you know, I had him on the show a couple months ago when because he would go viral for filming these things, because he would just kind of come upon these instances of African-American people freaking out about something, and he would film them and mock them and make fun of them and say, oh, look, they're chimping out. And so he sort of went viral over this. And when he was on our show, he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to make this like a thing that I do. And at the time, I remember being like, how's that going to work? Because so far, the videos that have gone viral have been because like you just stumbled upon something happening, or you just filmed something that was occurring outside of what you were doing. So you're going to go like provoke people. It's kind of strange. But then I saw him doing it, and it's like, okay, this works out. People know who he is. He sort of antagonizes people and sort of challenges them and go, oh, if I'm wrong, then walk away kind of thing. Oh, you're going to freak out and chimp out at me. You're sort of proving me right. And that was sort of his whole shtick. Again, you can debate the efficacy of this or whatever. But I do think that at the core of it all, he's got a point, because the way language is being weaponized these days, and hell, I think there's a line to draw between the way the N-word is used to justify murder, even after or attacks, physical attacks, even after the attacks take place, right? We talked about this yesterday. People are sharing the story a lot. It's one of the most egregious, but not, you know, really that unique. But in San Francisco, when a man was stabbed and then used the N-word on his stabber after being stabbed, and the stabber was acquitted because he used the N-word. That's crazy. That's insane. Like, that is too far. It's gone too far, folks. Yeah, here's the only footage of the actual struggle that we've seen, and the audio isn't much help, so it's really hard to determine what exactly happened here. Unfortunately, we do know that he has been charged with a litany of very severe crimes. We'll go over those and explain those a little bit. But that being said, and I'll show you some other, examples of, you know, things, the way this has gone too far, and the way that we really are stuck in this inverted social media discussion paradigm, where white people in America are the only people who are discriminated against, who are openly mocked and denigrated and hated, legally discriminated against by the government, by programs that the government gives out, grants and welfare and all this sort of stuff that is only there for, you know, they never say everybody except for white people. They say, well, this loan is for, you know, minorities, you know, whatever term they use. Or they'll just list them out and be like, oh, it's not, we're not excluding white people. We're just only including black people, Hispanic people, Asian, you know, Pacific Islander people, Native American. And it's like, just say non-white. It's all for non-white people. So, and yet when something like this happens, we still have this instinct of like, this is the worst thing in the world, and we cannot allow, you know, white supremacy to dominate. And it's like, that's not a thing, and it has been a thing for 100 years. So what are we talking about? Whatever, 70, 80 years, whatever it is. To any real degree. So like, really what's happening here is like the discriminated against, oppressed majority in this country, which is crazy, but that's literally how it's happening. Basically have a target on our back for ever expressing dissatisfaction with the state of affairs. I don't know if going around yelling the N-word at people is the most productive way to approach this. But I also don't think you can expect people subjected to this year over year over year to just quietly take it forever. Why would you? And my sense about Chud the Builder is that he sort of felt like he had nothing left to lose. He felt like because he's a white guy, he's lost his job, he's been discriminated against, he's like, nothing's going well for him, and he's just like, screw it. If they're going to ruin my life, I'll ruin my life. If they're going to discriminate against me, I'll give them a reason to. I get it. I get the impulse to do it. However, in a way, I feel like he had a bit of a death wish and was kind of knew something like this would happen and wasn't exactly avoiding it that much, which I think was irresponsible. And you know, I hope it works out for him. I hope he isn't convicted of all these things he's charged him with, because he'll go away for over 25 years. There is a fundraiser for Chud the Builder, a.k.a. Dalton Etherly. It's raised over $100,000 since he was arrested Wednesday on charges of attempted murder in Tennessee. This story is at Alex Jones Live. Live streamer Chud the Builder, famous for chimp out videos, raises over $100,000 after arrest for attempted murder. This is the list of charges here. Law enforcement officers respond to shots fired incident as a result of the investigation. He was detained by criminal investigators and charged with criminal attempt murder, employing a firearm during a dangerous felony, aggravated assault, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. Etherly was booked into Montgomery County Jail, where he's being held pending arraignment, at which time bond will be set. So those are big charges, right? It'd be a lot, you know, better for him if it was like, well, we've charged you with, you know, negligent discharge of a firearm. You know, sometimes it can go that way. Obviously, they want to make an example out of this guy, and I imagine they'll be throwing the book at him, which, again, is it's like we think we live in the 1950s, where, like, racial abuse against black people is, like, a major problem for them, and discrimination against black people is keeping them down. It's literally the opposite now, though. So I really feel like we need to update our responses to things like this to comport with the actual way the world works these days. And of course, the person that he shot was a man apparently identified as Joshua Fox. He's been charged with aggravated domestic assault after allegedly threatening his wife with a screwdriver and attempting to burn a house down in 2024. On April 18th, 2024, in Clarksville, Tennessee, officers responded to a domestic incident at Tower Drive apartment. Joshua Fox told officers his wife would not let him leave. His wife told officers Joshua was upset over vehicles issues preventing him from leaving. She claimed Joshua had an aerosol can and a lighter and attempted to burn the house down. It was actually an apartment building with a bunch of other families in it. When she tried to take the can away, they both fell to the ground. She said Joshua then grabbed a screwdriver and held it to her side, causing her to back away. Officers located the aerosol can and the screwdriver as described. So again, you've got a guy who basically probably should have been in jail anyway, but as always, you know, you can't blame the poor innocent black person for their own actions, right? That would be granting them agency, you know, and that's too respectful for modern liberalism. So, you know, they let him out, and he goes and attacks Dalton. So help Chud and his family, givesendgo.com/help Chud. But let me tell you another story that happened yesterday. It's sort of the inversion of this and more represents the much, much, much more common form of racial attack, not just in this country. This time it takes place in Canada, but it's a universal in white countries that this is the way things are going. And this is, it's like, obviously this isn't happening in America, but it will be very soon. And it is in a certain way, just not to this degree yet. But when I read you this story, I think it should make pretty clear why the policing of language is like a deadly, deadly thing for a country. And the way that white people are discriminated against and hated and you know, told, you know, the authorities are like, white people are the only ones who can ever be hateful. They're the only ones who can commit hate crimes. White people are the only ones who... It's having consequences that are killing, literally killing people. As I was reading this story, I literally like gasped out loud, and the whole crew was like, whoa, what's wrong? What happened? Oh, you'll see what happened. Story from Daily Mail. Sikh man, Indian Sikh religion, stabbed an 18-year-old university student to death with an 8-inch ceremonial knife, claiming he'd been racially abused. Now, he wasn't racially abused, of course, but that doesn't matter. Finance student Henry Nowak, 18, was on his way home from a night out when he was allegedly attacked by stranger Vikram Digwa, 23, with an 8-inch Shastar blade. Digwa was caught on camera saying, quote, "I'm a bad man," before the fatal attack, jurors were told. He's now on trial of accused of murder alongside his mother, Kiran Kao, who's accused of assisting the offender. Prosecutor said she went to the scene before running home with the knife to stash it amongst an arsenal of weapons there. They both deny the charges. Southampton Crown Court heard Mr. Nowak was in his first term studying accountancy and finance. So he was a freshman at university when he was out for a night on the town December 3rd, 2023, with friends from his football team. The teenager went home around 11 p.m. having, quote, drunk less than the legal limit to drive. So he's a little bit buzzed. He's walking home at 11 p.m., not that late. Jurors were told he was speaking to friends on Snapchat when he came across Digwa. After he was stabbed, Mr. Nowak tried to climb a fence to escape. But Digwa was, quote, aggressively pursuing him, leaving a trail of blood, the court heard. Police were called to the scene, but arrested Mr. Nowak, the stabbing victim, after Digwa claimed he'd been racially abused. Mr. Nowak was then handcuffed before passing out and dying in the street a short time later. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? This young guy, this freshman in college, is walking home at 11 p.m., looking at his phone, chatting to friends on Snapchat, when some insane Indian dude stabs him with an 18-inch knife. This kid is, like, you can only imagine, frantic, running away, leaving a trail of blood, tries to climb a fence. The dude is chasing him, pursuing him, pulls him off the fence, fighting still. The cops show up. This kid is bleeding, obviously a severe wound, but this liar, scumbag, Indian immigrant knifeman says, oh, well, he called me a bad word. So police put this kid in handcuffs, render no medical aid, and allow him to bleed out and die on the sidewalk. Do you see why it's dangerous if you let these words, these ideas, oh, well, a white guy said a bad word, guess we better handcuff him and let him bleed out, the 18-year-old who did absolutely nothing wrong, because we're psychopaths, because we can't, like, understand the world that we live in. And it's like, oh, the guy with the giant bloody knife is like, he called me a bad word. And they look at the kid standing there bleeding to death, and they're like, guess you deserve it, kid. Handcuff him, leave him to die in the gutter. Okay, so do you understand? Like, okay, there's a guy out there who's live streaming and saying the N-word. Big effing deal. This is a big deal. This is a crisis that we have to deal with, okay? This is where this goes if we allow this language to be controlled like this, or treated like a physical threat, which, by the way, is exactly the case that Sebastian Gorka makes when we got a video of that today. There's a through line here. Words are violence. You know, when white people say words, it's actually violence, and they deserve to get stabbed, or they deserve to be censored by the government because, you know, their words are violence. So we have to not accept this and understand where this goes if we don't courageously stand up against the attempt to control and limit our language. Or you have things like this, which just, again, shows the absurdity of the construct of this view that people have of America, where it's white people are super privileged. And when a white person does a crime against a black person, it's, yeah, you're practically like looking at a slave owner whipping his slave, right? It's this expression of power over them. It's so utterly absurd. And so we're just in this double bind of we are discriminated against and we're, you know, constantly punished for even seeming like we're discriminated against other people. I mean, it's completely insane. So here's how insane it is. Asian professor alleges SMU relabeled him white to discriminate against him. Oh, but white power, white supremacy is the biggest threat in this country. Sean Wang, an assistant professor of accounting at Edwin L. Cox School of Business at Southern Methodist University, filed suit against the university for unlawful discrimination and retaliation in November 2025. News of the lawsuit broke days ago. Wang, who's Chinese American, alleges SMU's accounting department has had a systematic pattern of discrimination in its tenure decision since the arrival of Indian origin professor Hemen Desai. Among candidates of Indian descent who met SMU's stated productivity standard, at least four top-tier publications, 100%, were tenured. Among candidates of non-Indian descent, Caucasian and Chinese, who met SMU's stated productivity standard of at least four top-tier publications, SMU has not supported any non-Indian candidates for tenure. So this Indian dude gets in a position of power, and he just immediately grants tenure to Indian professors and refuses to grant tenure to any non-Indian professors. And then they say that he went so far as to re-categorize the Chinese American dude as white in order to screw him over and discriminate against him openly, even though they discriminate against Asian people anyway in these organizations. It sort of goes to show you like what the real racial dynamics at play here in America are, where it's like, if this was a white supremacist country, everybody would be clamoring to call themselves white. It's not. So now you label people white in order to discriminate against them. That's how inverted everything has become. Now let's talk about, we'll get into AI and the data centers here in just a second. I have another just crazy story that you're not going to hear anywhere else in just a second. But I do want to tell you about a new product that we have that I sort of accidentally let you know about earlier. Well, don't spoil my thing. I'm doing a plug, guys. Now my surprise is ruined. It's fine. The crew is not taking their methylene red capsules, and that's an issue. They're spoiling my surprises. Methylene red capsules are the newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene red, we designed ourselves as sort of a companion to ultramethylene blue, but and it has a lot of the same effects, and it maximizes the effects of ultramethylene blue. But a lot of people can't take methylene blue because they take statins or Adderall or something. It has conflicts with some commonly prescribed medicines, which you should look into. I mean, that's how powerful it is, right? It's like it's so powerful. It's not a normal supplement. It's not something you can just take and it like doesn't matter because it doesn't do anything. No, it does a lot. It has a big effect. So you got to make sure it's not interacting with other medications that you're taking. But ultramethylene red is designed to partner with it and maximize the effect and to, in a way, mimic the effect if you're one of these people that cannot take ultramethylene blue. Ultramethylene red is a fantastic alternative, or combine it, and it's a fantastic accelerant, you could say. Clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support. This is for people who want to wake up sharper, think clearer, and stay locked in throughout the day without relying on fake stimulant garbage. No crash, no junk, no watered down formula, just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, stay focused, and keep moving. You can subscribe today for 50% off, so you can guarantee that you get the delivery monthly. You can cancel it at any time, but sign up for the regular deliveries and you get them for 50% off, or get them for 35% off as our special introductory price offer. That's ultramethylene red capsules, cognitive power, cellular fuel, and lasting energy. And again, I'm not making any medical claims, but we did show a little bit of the video yesterday, and I'll probably get more into it tomorrow when I have more time, but it's about anti-aging and the way that aging itself is, in fact, just a product of the imperfect replication of DNA. As DNA replicates itself, it does so imperfectly. And so those little tiny changes over time lead to things like gray hair, wrinkles in your skin, things like that. And to reverse aging, you reverse that process. You sort of just like repair the DNA back to its former self. And in a lot of ways, a lot of our products do that to a lesser degree. I'm not saying they're going to make you age backwards, but the mitochondrial effects that a lot of these supplements at thealexjonesstore.com have do actually functionally help your DNA repair itself and copy itself in an effective way. So it's real stuff we're dealing with, and it's really powerful supplements that we have at thealexjonesstore.com. So I think let's go now to clip number 17. This is Eric Moutsos on X. This is the silver lining video. This, to me, smile on my face. It made me so happy and joyful, in a white pill, a true white pill in this dark night. Let's go to clip 17 here as we talk about AI. And despite all of the positive coverage of AI going on, being shoved down our throat by mainstream media and politicians and everybody else, the people are not on board. Let's watch.
Yeah, so this video goes to show that this is not popular. Not even the youth want it. Ironically, the youth that just put in all of their time and money into a degree that AI is about to take. Oh, and this lady's reaction, she's actually surprised that this isn't pop. She thought she was going to get cheers, and instead, this is what she gets.
The rise of artificial intelligence is the next industrial revolution. What happened? Okay, I struck a chord. May I finish? Only a few years ago, AI was not a factor in our lives.
All right, so I'll take us out here, but it happens a few more times. Anytime she says anything about AI, I kind of feel bad for her because she's right. I mean, all she's saying is the facts. They're not booing her, but they're just booing AI. People hate AI. They really do, and the young people especially do. I heard that, and I just started, it's like, have you ever seen Dune? You get the visions of the future. If you've ever read Heretic of Dune or anything like that, where you just see the legions, you see the jihad. I'm ready for the Butlerian jihad. Like, let's just do it now, right? This is great. This is what I keep saying. It's like we have the ability to predict the future every single time we've ever put our minds to imagine and try to speculate as to what would occur if AI were to be created. Every time in human history, the inevitable result is AI takes over, it becomes evil, we have to destroy it, and then we reset with these laws, these religious laws in many cases. You cannot create computers that can mimic the human brain. Dune and Foundation, all these things are like this. So let's skip that middle part. Let's skip the apocalypse and just jump right to the Butlerian Jihad, the vicious takedown of the AI centers. It sounds like everyone's on board, which I'm very excited about. Tucker Carlson and Kevin O'Leary had a conversation about this, and once again, Tucker Carlson just absolutely wipes the floor with him because he's actually genuinely concerned about human beings, and Kevin O'Leary is a giant liar. But here's the crazy story that nobody else is going to tell you, and I just figured out. Data center GPU service life is 1 to 3 years. So when you hear about these data server, these data farms, these data centers that they're building, this the super collider, whatever, in Utah that's, you know, 62 acres or whatever it is. Now imagine 62 acres with all of it covered in GPUs and understand that you have to produce that many GPUs for every data center every year or every 3 years. This is going to, like, how do you sustain that? I don't think it's possible to go 3 years. I don't think it's possible. Like, you're going to build all of these GPUs for all of these thousands and thousands of gigantic data centers, and then you're going to have to make, you're going to have to do it again in a year and do it again in another year and do it again in another. That's crazy. It's like taking the Apple model where they deliberately encode in that your phone starts to slow down and starts to crap out, and the whole thing is designed to make you buy a new phone every year. It's probably been the single most destructive decision ever made by anybody, and this was Steve Jobs' brilliant idea. Sure, they could sell you a phone that would last for 5 years, that could be upgraded or updated, or you could swap out RAM and put more RAM in. They could have done that, and they could have massively reduced the production of new phones. But instead, they wanted to, on purpose, design a system so you had to constantly get new phones, constantly resupply the product line. That's on purpose. It's got to be the most destructive decision maybe ever made. I said environmentally, which is certainly true, but even just in terms of like the money that goes into China and the cost of producing these things. And if you're going to have to produce this many this often, how are you going to make that work without offshoring to a bunch of slave labor in Foxconn? Terrible decision. Now imagine that, but instead of a little phone that you have to buy every year, it's a million GPUs. This is crazy. GPUs wear out in 1 to 3 years. So the entire data center will have to be fully replaced every 1 to 3 years. Do you have any idea how unsustainable this entire thing is? Stay with us, folks. A very special broadcast from Kentucky with Tiffany Cianci coming up, folks.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out, only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. And you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now. at realauctions.com and theauctionstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.